We're very thankful this morning to be able to speak to God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's why we have no guitars and get fillers and bass mics and pianos and the whole church is the choir. Everybody must speak for themselves. Singing is worship. So if you're sitting here, you're not singing, you're not completing your worship. Singing is how we praise God, with the fruits of our lips. We don't praise God with hand claps. Now they say, give me a hand claps of praise. Bible don't say that. The Bible says we praise God continually with the fruits of our lips. So there are five things that you'll find done in worship in the New Testament. They would sing. They would pray. They would take communion every Sunday. Not on the first Sunday, like I did growing up. It was the first Sunday. Christians in the Bible did it every Sunday. They took a collection. They didn't tithe in the New Testament. They give as they prosper. They gave without being grudgingly. In other words, if you give $5 and you grudgingly give it, or you give $100 and you grudgingly, you're cringing when you do it, or you give of a necessity, you give, well, I'm going to give, I know I made $1,000, but I'm going to, is it necessary that I give $100? And you say that's necessary, then you keep it. Because God loves a cheerful giver. You say, well, do we do 10%? You ought to blow way past 10%. Amen. We're not Old Testament Christians. Jesus didn't die in the Old Law. He died in the New Testament. Amen. He was a greater prophet, greater promises. Amen. Our minds should be, God, I gave us. Amen. And will I give, but cheerfully give back to God. Because number one, he gave you life. Amen. You're still living. Amen. Amen. You woke up this morning. You ought to be thankful to give back to God. Amen. Yeah, you ought to be thankful to give. So all aspects of worship is important. So how many of you didn't sing this morning? You haven't completed your worship. Now, singing was good. Brother MC done a wonderful job. I love the way Brother MC got that old shaky voice singing. I like that. I like that. I like Brother MC. He got that little ad-lib he put to it. I like that for him. I want that one that he sing. Which one is that I like, Brother Jim? Will you add to it, by? You know which one it is, don't you? Come on, brother. Man. Yeah, I think it's Heaven on the Other Side. We say, you hear, believe, you put the plan of salvation in. Is that it? Give us a verse of that one and do that for me. And because I want some people who didn't sing doing, I want them to sing this time. And I'm going to look at the audience and see how it look. Who ain't singing? Amen. And then we're gonna make sure we worship right. Now, I might need to send the plate around again for those who didn't give right the first time. This is your chance to give right. How many of y'all want to start it all over? Huh? Now, all of you drunk your juice, didn't you? But if you didn't give right, go ahead and write you a check. And go ahead and pull another 20 out. Whatever you got to do. And on your way out the door, give it to the ushers. If you ain't wrote your pledge check, go ahead and write it. Let's go ahead and finish that up. But we're going to sing another song so we can be true worshipers. Amen. How we sing in spirit and how we worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Church of Christ, we may have some visitors in here that ain't never experienced good a cappella singing. Amen. Beautiful singing. This is what it's going to be like in heaven right here. Go on, Brother MC. All right. Let me see what you got.
Heaven is on the other side. Heaven is on the other side, oh heaven.
I'm scanning, looking.
The other side, heaven is on the other side. I will make it, I will make it. Heaven is on the other.
He's talking to bass.
You know, heaven is on the other.
There you go.
The side, heaven is on the other side, oh heaven. Is on the other side, heaven is on the other side. I will make it, I will make it. Heaven is on the other the side, you know, heaven's on the other side. Heaven's on the other, yeah. Heaven is on the other side. I'm gonna work real hard to make it on
the
end.
Come
on,
praise
the church of heaven, oh, on the other side. Yeah. I'm gonna work real hard so I can make it on home. Come on, sing in church of heaven, on the other side. Yeah, heaven, and on the other side. Well, well, I'm gonna work real hard so I can make it on home. Well, I've heard the gospel, I believe the same, repented of my sin, confessed his holy name. I went down in the water, got rid of my sins. Ever since that day, been trying to make it on in. Oh, I got to make it on home. Come on, sing in church of heaven, on the other side. Yeah, heaven is on the other side. Well, well, I'm gonna work real hard to make it on in. Church, if we work real hard, we make it on in. Church, if we work real hard, we make it on in.
Now, I seen y'all singing that time. Singing. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're the VIP of the audience. You're the most important person in the room because we want you to know that we believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And Jesus said there's two ways. He said, in the end it's straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And he said many would go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And said few there be to find it. We believe that when you visit the Church of Christ, you have found the it. There is only one true church, one true way, one truth to be obeyed. That's in this book. It's in this book. There's only one church in this book. It's called the Church of Christ, referred to as the Church of Christ. And they sing, they pray, they took a communion, they took the collection, and they preach from the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do now. Amen. Preach from the Word of God. So we're thankful to have you with us. This is of truth, that prophet. Study of the book of John, and continuing in chapter 6 now. If you turn there, John chapter 6. We're going to study chapter 6. It's got 71 verses. It's going to be a long chapter to study, but we will get through it. In verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over
the Sea of Galilee.
To the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And notice he's now, after the things that had gone on, he's now in going over, which is the Sea of Tiberias, a great multitude
followed him.
A lot of folk followed him right now. He's getting some attention. They're going to kill him, though. But he's now developing the faith of the men who will be with him to the end. This whole book of John talks about how the development of faith occurred with the apostles and disciples. And because the people followed him, they saw. Their faith came by seeing miracles. Ours don't come by seeing miracles. That's why today you won't see me. You won't hear me speaking on that type of stuff. That's gibberish, jabberish, jargon. I don't even know if those are good words, but that's about as crazy as it gets. Tongue speaking was a language. Amen. And when tongue speaking is a miracle, I could go to the United Nations. I would speak English and the Russian would hear me in Russian. I would speak English. The Chinaman would hear me in Chinese. Japanese would hear me in Japanese. That's tongue speaking. This other stuff is fake. They're like, no one is healing. No one is raising the dead. No one is drinking poison. If they do, they die. Those were miracles. And if you have to see something to believe, that's no longer faith. Faith coming by hearing. Romans 10, 17. Then that faith is developed by the word of God. We believe what's written. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in his book. But these that are written are written that you might believe. We believe what we read, not what we saw. Amen. Now, they saw him healing those that were diseased. And the Bible says, there, what?
Because they saw his miracle, which he did on them that were diseased.
And this miracle, he's getting ready to perform a feeding 5,000 plus people, is the only thing that all four Gospels record. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered the synoptic Gospels, which means they're in sync on the same story. So you have to read all three of them to get the full picture of what happened. But John is in this story of the 5,000. John, all four of them write about it. So it's four different versions that we have to read in order to understand, to get the picture of what the prophet, what the Holy Spirit is revealing through these Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's do that briefly. And let's go back to Matthew 14, 13. It's there. And then we'll go to Mark 6, and then we'll go to Luke, and then we'll come to John. Let's just read a little bit. It's probably more reading y'all going to do this week. There's a lot of reading right here. Let's start at verse 13. So basically, if you're listening for the whole, get the big picture of what happened that day when he fed the 5,000. Notice what he says in verse number 13.
When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Mm-hmm. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to the heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children.
And that's something Matthew record right there. You won't read in other places. Who else was there? Men, women, and so it was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Now, get a visual of this, because this is a massive crowd that's following Jesus because he's performing miracles. Some commentators said it could be upward to 20,000 people total, counting them. I don't know, but the Bible don't say exactly. It said 5,000 beside women and children. We know of more than 5,000. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side. Now go to Mark 6 and verse 30. Mark. Now here's Mark's account of it. The apostles
gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And
verse
he said unto them,
I hear some pages turning.
Okay.
It may not be the first, it might be the only time they read this week. Everybody there? Say amen. Amen. If you ain't there, say wait. They there then. We start at verse 30 again. Let's go back.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told all things, both what they had done and what they had taught.
All right, read.
And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities. And out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd.
Matthew didn't say that. This is another something else Mark's recording that Matthew didn't say about. Read on.
And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country around about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all them sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And to the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did eat all and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men.
Luke chapter 9, verse 10. That's a beautiful sound to me.
It is.
Because you can't hear them iPads. I don't like them iPads and my iPhones. Yeah, I know some of y'all using that technology. That's good. But I sure like the sound of the pages turning, boy. That's a good sign that you got a Bible in your hand. Ready? Verse 10.
And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets.
And so, when you put those together, we learn that this is taking place later on in his ministry, and it looks early in John's book, but it's taking place after John the Baptist is dead and about a year before Jesus is going to die. So he's in the last part of his ministry when he's doing this. He's really starting to, they're going to try to kill him. They're trying to get to him. He knows this is getting ready to happen. So he's in the last year of his ministry. So when you read all three, you can get the understanding that it's taking place and when it's taking place. And you also can understand that Jesus now he's well known with all these people following him. So it's getting more and more dangerous for him now. And so in John chapter 6, John records some things, and neither one of those recorded, which we're going to study this morning. And he said in verse 3, Jesus went up into a mountain
and there he sat with his disciples.
And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh.
Jesus then lifted up his eyes.
When he lifted up his eyes, he saw.
And saw a great company come unto him.
Okay, now here comes something that others didn't talk about, what happened with Philip. And Philip, and he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat?
This he said to prove Philip.
For he himself knew
what he would do.
He knew he was going to feed him, but he's checking and proving Philip. And Philip answered.
Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little.
So Philip is being proved, his test is a test of faith. Do you believe? Jesus knew he was going to do it. So he was asking Philip, so what do you think, basically? And so I asked this morning, how many of you need proving? Do you believe? Do you believe God is able? How many of you trust God can bring you through no matter how difficult the situation may be? You got to think with these apostles, these disciples are saying, I mean, how is this possible that we can feed all these people with two fishes and five loaves of bread? Something miraculous has to happen in order for this to be done. So Philip, Jesus saying, do Philip believe? And I'm asking that we bring this today. How many of us are in situations that we think it's impossible to get out of? But God is saying, now you're in your situation, but do you believe I'm able? Do you believe that I got a plan? Do you know that when you're going through things, God is the helicopter over the parade of your life? He know your birth. He know what you're going through right now. And he know you're going to die later. He know the whole game. He got a plan for your life. But do you need to be proved? What are you saying, brother? As Christians, we should be believers in God, knowing God is able, no matter how difficult, no matter how deep I might be in a situation, we'll know God is able to bring us through. I got to know that God is in my life. And because I have God in my life and I have a relationship with God, he's in control. And when God is in control, no matter what's going on, I know the end result will be the will of God. Why you say that, Brother Bibber? Because I'm operating by faith. Yeah, I walk by faith and not by sight. I believe in the word of God. And I think about Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham, God told Abraham, you will have a child in your old age. And Sarah was listening. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed within herself. And the Bible says God asked Abraham, why is it that Sarah is laughing? He said, is anything too hard for God? I ask you in your life, is anything too hard for God? Why are you laughing, Sarah? Is there a Sarah in the audience? You got a situation going on in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your situation. I'm asking Sarah today. I'm talking to the women. Is anything too hard for God? Don't all of us have to understand that as Philip was being proved, we're being proved every day. Sometimes we hear people say, you know, Brother Brooks, I'm going through some stuff right now. I'm trying to get myself together. And then I'm going to start back coming to church. You need to be proved, because you don't believe. You believe more in you than you do in God. If you believe in God, you come here, no matter how desperate you are, how difficult the situation may be. You come to God and you stick with God, because you know the outcome is going to be in God's. God going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. If I think of it, I think about it. You remember Abraham and Isaac? God told him to take his son up there and offer him. And Abraham moved by faith. Went to the mountain and he took Isaac, his only son. And he told him, the people who were with him stay at the bottom of the mountain. Him and Isaac went up top. And Isaac told his father, he said, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where is the lamb? But Abraham, being a man of faith, a man who believed that God was able, he said, is anything too hard for God? In his mind, he says, son, here's what I know. I got the wood, I got the fire, and God will provide. And when you're going through some things, you may be having a hard time. You may be struggling in your finances. You may be struggling in your marriage. You may be struggling in your situation. But you got to be a man of God who says, God will provide. And when you walk in the walk of faith, it's nothing too big. It's nothing too low. I'm never too high. I'm never too low in my situation. No mountain too high to climb. No valley too low, because God is able. And when God is able, you believe that? You believe that with all of your heart? Amen, somebody. You know you believe in God. You know God going to bring you through. While you're here this morning, it may be that you need to be proven. You need to prove to yourself, man, I leave today. I believe. And when you believe, watch God work. Some of you, I'm going to talk about giving quite a bit. Some of you missing your blessings. You missing your blessings. Because you're living with faith in you. But when you live with faith in God, you give right. Amen, somebody. You live right. Amen. You sing right. Amen. You commune right. You live right. Because your whole life is based on a faith in a God who's the helicopter over the parade of life. Tomorrow ain't promised without God. Amen. Amen, somebody ought to say amen. You know, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what your situation is. I know you brought a situation with you in here. I know all of you brought something with you. You got a situation. It may be a health situation. It may be a cancer situation. It may be a diabetes situation. It may be something the doctor can't find situation. You may have some bad news situation. But I don't know if it's your finance. You may have lost your job. You may not have. You don't know how you're going to pay your rent. You don't know how you're going to pay your mortgage. You don't know how you pay your light bill. I don't know what you got going on with you. You may have aborted a baby. Or maybe you're going through a bad divorce. Or you got a marriage that you're so miserable in. You got to sleep with the man and you ain't like the man. The man don't like you and you don't like him, but you can't divorce him. You came in with a situation, and people who don't operate by faith, there are some situations bigger than them. But the message I'm bringing today is that our God is able, and no matter how big your situation may look to you, God is bigger than your situation. And then when you start believing like that, the situation gets small and God get big. When God is big, God is good. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. God is everywhere all the time. That's good preaching, Brother Bruce. I like it myself. Yeah, because when I'm driving home, I feel like God is in the driving seat. He ain't co-pilot. He handling this thing. Amen, somebody. When my child is sick, When my wife is sick, when my mama is sick, my dad is sick, I'm going to be all right because I know God is bigger than the sickness. What's your situation? What's your situation that you got? Jesus knew this man had a situation that he said, I don't understand how we're going to feed all these folk. Here's Jesus. He said, one of his disciples, and verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him,
there is a lad here.
Now, the other ones didn't tell where they got the fish from. In John's account, it was a little boy. See, let me tell y'all something. And I really believe this. You don't know. Be careful how you treat people. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Because you never know why God put that person in your path. Sometimes God will use the least expected person to bring your blessing. Do y'all believe that those folks thought that little boy's fish was going to turn into a blessing for the multitude? Huh? I don't know. I believe when you visit the Church of Christ, this is Brother Brooks there, and you hear the truth, God used whoever brought you as your blessing. That's why he said in John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's one thing when you're seeking God, but it's a whole different thing when God says, I want you. God responds to the mind of the seeker. And when they're seeking truth, they'll meet the preacher of the gospel, the preacher of the cross, the preacher of the Father, the preacher of the one baptism, the preacher of the one Lord, the preacher of the one faith, and the preacher of the one church. Because the saved are in the church. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm saying to the visitors, your blessing is the man or woman who bought you. Amen. You say, well, that's, I just came because that's my boyfriend. That's my girlfriend. That's what you wrote them off as. But God is saying something different. I'm going to bless the multitude with a little boy. I'm going to talk about some of these, some of the youth. It may be you, young man, that saved your mom and daddy. It might be a teenager who hear the truth, obey the truth, and bring his mama to hear the truth and obey the truth. And God used that little lad to bless that whole house. Isn't that good? So I'm just saying to all of us, God can put people in our path to bless us. Think about the person who introduced you to the truth. That was your blessing. Amen. How many of y'all know who introduced you to the truth first time? Amen. Amen. That person was a blessing in your life. Let me get on. I got a couple of things. Thank you, okay. Now, I like it when they say take your time. Because when the folk throw, you know, I'm going to say, Hamilton said take your time. Oh, but let me say this one minute. In case you think that Brother Brooks will ever stop preaching the gospel, in all humility and meekness, I'm going to say this. You are wrong. I ain't your preacher. Because I'm never going to not preach cross or the gospel. Never. Going to be in every sermon I preach. The reason I'm saying that, because I know the power to save a man or woman, according to Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to save a man and woman. Need to find you another preacher. I'm never going to stop. Somebody say, don't say that, Brother Brooks. Why not? Don't let somebody want me to stop preaching one church. You're wrong preacher. Don't call me to no funeral and ask me to preach and don't expect me to say the saved are in the church of Christ. Wrong preacher. I'm going to say it because I believe it. That's just for those members who think I preach too much gospel. Doesn't you know? I don't preach for the people. I preach for God. I know who I'm in charge on. I'm the charge. I'm under charge to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove them, rebuke them. That's what I'm doing with this. Exhort them with all long suffering and doctrine. You got to preach the truth to people. If people don't want the truth, they can't be set free. What Jesus say? You shall know what? And the truth shall, that's what's going to happen. What's the truth about this situation? Philip didn't think he was going to do it. God's going to use, Jesus going to use a lad which had five barley loaves, two small fishes. But what are they,
among so many?
Said, man, that ain't enough. Jesus said,
make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place.
Yeah, grass. There's green grass. We learned from one text.
So the men sat down.
Men sat down in number about 5,000.
And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks,
he distributed the gospel to the disciples.
The disciples to them that were set down.
And likewise the fishes
as much as they would.
And when they were filled. They were filled.
He said to the disciples.
He said to the disciples,
gather up the fragments that remain.
Get up the remaining of what I bless you with. I'm going to give you more than you need. This is my point of application. Is that when God is in your life, you got more than you need. I'm thinking about David when he had to go up against the giant Goliath. And he went up to him and he reached down in his tank, put in the brook, picked up five smooth stones, put them in his pouch, got a slingshot. Amen. Pulled one out. And the old giant was talking about it. Oh, you little ruddy youth. David said, all right, I might look small, but I got a big God. He pulled out a stone, put it in the slingshot, wrapped it around his head, aimed at the big giant. The Bible said that stone flew all the way, hit that giant right in the middle of his head, and he fell forward straight. Now he had four left. He didn't need but one. You know what I'm saying? Is that all of us got some giants in our lives. But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter how big your situation is, God will give you more than you need to get through it. Preach, Brother Bruce. We got some giants in our lives. I like the fact there's going to be leftovers. I like that. That's how God said, he told Israel, if you would just keep my word, if you just obey my commands, I'll bless you. I'll bless your house. I'll bless your city. I'll bless your job. I'll bless your children. I'll bless you when you go to Kroger's. I'll bless you on your way out of Kroger's. I'll bless you in your car. I'll bless you on your way home. I'll bless you on the way to work. I'll bless you when you stand up. I'll bless you when you lay down. I'll bless you when you're walking. I'll bless you when you're talking. If you just do what I tell you. God said, I even blessed the city. Houston blessed because we're here. That's it. I ain't got time to read that, but that's in the book. I like that, Tim. That's good stuff right there. But there's some curses over there, too. He said, I'll curse you. Well, I'm going to stay with the positive side, okay? Let me close this out. Oh, yeah. In verse 13.
Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten.
Then those men,
when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth.
They saw the miracle and said, man, this got to be that guy. This is that prophet. The one Moses talked about. The one Isaiah and them talked about. Amen. The one Samuel talked about. This is the shallow. This is him. This is that prophet. And they believed it because of the miracle. And then the Bible says, when Jesus ever perceived that they would come and take him by force
to make him a king,
yeah.
he departed again into a mountain himself alone.
So here he is. This is that prophet. Moses told him about it. He said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up, liken unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. Isaiah said, Isaiah 9 and 6, for us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulder, the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is of truth, that prophet who is able, amen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that son is known by the name of Jesus the Christ. The Son of the living God came down from heaven's glory, walked among men. This is the truth. That prophet who had his last supper with his disciple. This is of truth. That prophet. This is of truth. That one they prophesied about. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This the one. This is that prophet that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who said, Father, let this cup pass. This is of truth. That prophet that left the Garden of Gethsemane. This is of truth. That prophet who stood before Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. This is of truth. That prophet that they whipped with a whip called a flagellum. They scourged him, left stripes all over his body. This is of truth. That prophet. Isaiah said, who gonna believe the report? This is of truth, that prophet. This is of truth, that prophet. They put crowns on his head, crown of thorns on his head, mocked him, slapped him, and beat him. This is of truth, that prophet. He was beaten and mangled, had to walk up a hill called Calvary. This is of truth, that prophet. That they got him on top of the hill called Calvary. A Golgotha of the place of the throne. This is of truth. That prophet. That they drove nails in his hands and his feet. Hung him between the twilights of two worlds. This is of truth. That prophet. This is the one that Peter told on the day of Pentecost. When he told the Jews, by wicked hand you have slain the Holy One. This is of truth. That prophet. He said, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter preached him, and I'm still preaching him today, that he hung for 6 hours on that cross. He was shed the blood that would purchase his bride, his church, his wife. And she would wear his name. That's why it's called the Church of Christ. Acts 20, 28. The Bible said, take heed therefore in yourself over the flock with the Holy Ghost. And made you overseer of the free the church of God. Which he purchased with his own blood. It was God the Son. That same blood washed away man's sin. Revelation 1 and the verse number 5. Baptism is where the sins are washed away. Where you contact the blood of Jesus. Where you receive the Holy Spirit. And then when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's hallelujah time. It's thank God, amen. I heard the truth. I believed it with all of my heart. I repented of my sin. I confessed before me, and I believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I was baptized. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I said, highest praise to God. It was of truth, that prophet. And when you believe that you'll get baptized, you'll make that confession. And the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. You got to be added to it. You can't join it. You have to obey God, be washed in the blood, and then the Lord will wash your sins away, give you the Spirit, add you to the true church. And there you know, I'm okay with God. You drink that blood weekly. You drink it every Sunday. You walk in the light with that blood. It continuously cleanses you. It keeps blessing you over and over and over again. Amen. It keeps on cleansing you over and over and over again. I'm so thankful I heard the truth. I'm so thankful I obeyed the truth 32 years ago. I know I got baptized for the remission of my sins. I obeyed the truth. I've been faithful to the Lord. Been faithful to Bible class. Faithful to morning worship. Faithful to evening services. Because I believe God is bigger than me. He's bigger than my situations. And I know you brought some with you today. What I want you to do, I'm getting ready to sing the hallelujah song. The hallelujah means give God praise that you woke up this morning. Sing praise to him that he's blessed your life. Come down and be baptized. Don't miss your blessing. Come get it. He used the lad to get the people. I don't know who he used to get you in front of this truth. But my question is, will you obey it? Will you obey the truth today? If you obey the truth, you obey the truth by hearing the gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection story, believing that gospel, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God before audience, Matthew 10:32, and then be baptized, and then the Lord adds you to the church, and you live faithful unto death, and you'll receive your crown of life. You got the song ready? Here's what I want you. I want those who have never been baptized before, I want you to come down to the front. We're going to baptize you right now this morning. Because the prophet done came. This is the truth that brought. I want you to come. You say, well, I was baptized before, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. You need to be baptized. You never got the one baptism. You need to get the one baptism. One baptism by one faith, though, well, by one spirit, all baptized into one church. If you ain't in one church, you didn't get the one baptism. You got to get that one baptism. Amen. You need the one baptism. And then all Lord then will add you to the church. Now, I want the person who's been baptized before, I want you to come and be baptized according to the truth. And I want the person who's never been baptized to come. I want the person who's struggling, going through some stuff in your life. You got situations, big mountains. Come on and put your faith in God. He's proving you this morning. Can you step out on faith to come to him? Say, I'm going to let God have all my problems. Rise up, take your bed, and walk to him this morning. Come to him, bring your problem with you, and give it to God, and leave free-minded that everything's all right with God. Y'all want to do that? Y'all want to do that? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come. If you need prayer, I want you to come. If you need to make the confession, I want you to come. If you want to be baptized, I want you to come. As together we stand and sing this.